Everyone has a limit, and he's reached his. This is Nick's Take, a new type of political talk show about the current status of our country, elected officials, and the rest of the world. He'll give you his take on it from an old-school anarchist with common sense and a true Generation Xer. Nothing is said from a place of hate, but this is an uncensored show. So, if you're easily offended, turn back now, Cupcake. Here's your host, the one and only, Nick B.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome into Nick's Take, a new political podcast, political show, I should say, that I am starting. And today is the first episode. We weren't planning to do the show today, but the debates were last night. So I figured I would come on and give you my side of the debates and do some of the fact-checking on my own. And some of the things that I know and some of the things that I have found. And we will archive every show with links to everything that we talk about so that you can go and see it for yourself. If you have no idea who I am, you can go to www.nickbnation.com to learn more about me. But I'm a nationally syndicated radio host who has pretty much gotten sick and tired of the way politics are in this country. There used to be a time where we could have differing opinions, and you didn't want to kill the other person. Now, all of a sudden, things have gotten extreme, and people are attacking people for the way that they believe. I happen to be an anarchist. I don't have loyalties to the Republican Party, and I don't have loyalties to the Democrat Party. In fact, I have voted for both of those, including the Independent Party, numerous times throughout my adult life of voting. I don't vote strictly because there's an R by somebody's name, strictly because there's a D, or strictly because there's an I. I am going to vote for who I believe is going to do the best job. I've been wrong, admittedly, on a few of them, but at the same time, it's what I felt was right. I don't really think there's somebody out there that does politics the way that I do, from the perspective of truly as center in the middle as we possibly can be. And that's where I believe I tend to live, is I try to give equal to both sides as much as I possibly can. Now, sometimes it may seem like I'm leaning more to this position or this party, or I may lean the other way to the other party. That's just what's going to happen through the ebb and flow of this show. Now, the show is intended to be at least a two-hour show. There's going to be 1 hour of video, or technically there's going to be 2 full hours of video, but there's only going to be about 1 hour of the actual podcast. The rest of it is going to be reserved for our video viewers. So, if you want to watch the video, you're going to have to subscribe. We are putting it behind a paywall because it costs us a lot of money to put this show on and to put all of our shows on. So we need to make a little bit of money. And right now we don't have any sponsors. We don't have anything like that. It's basically coming out of my pocket. So we need money. So I'm not ashamed of it. Again, if you want to put a label on me, I'm technically an anarcho-capitalist. Capitalist being the key word. And I'm not afraid of earning a little bit of money or asking people to help me if they find value in my show. If you don't find value in the show, I'll learn that pretty quickly and we'll probably shelve this show. Hope we don't, though, because I really enjoy politics and this is really the only chance that I'm going to get to give you my opinion on things. So the only presidential debate that we're going to have before election season as of today, which is September 11th, 2024, the debate was last night, September 10th, 2024, it happened. So there's no chance, again, as of recording the show, they haven't announced that they're going to do another debate. I know the Harris team wants to do another debate, but Trump, I don't think, wants to. I think Trump has made his policies pretty clear, and he's pretty much stated everything that he possibly could state. I think Harris wants to do another debate because regardless of what the liberal media and the establishment media is telling you, I did not see a good performance from Kamala last night. She was a lot better than she has been in any other functioning role that she has had. She wasn't cackling. She did not stutter very much. She did not have issues. She had a poise about her that was somewhat admirable, especially considering she's been a laughingstock for the last couple of years with her hyena of a cackle. So she was very poised last night. I do not think Donald Trump, I don't think it was his best night. I think he looked to be a little bit more unhinged, but I understand where that was coming from. I didn't see the entire debate. So there's a good 30 minutes of it or so that I missed because I came in a little after 8. I think I came in about 8:15, 8:30, somewhere around there. So I missed the first half of it, but I have rewatched it online and stuff like that. And I will point out this debate, when Harris agreed to do it, because there was a time where she wasn't really wanting to do it, and Donald Trump didn't want to do it because he was currently suing the network for slander and libel. So he didn't want to go to the network and give them any ratings to help them potentially fight against him. That makes sense to me. But he eventually agreed to do it. And then Harris was like, I want to sit down. I want to be able to sit down. And I want to be able to keep all the mics on. And they were like, no, we're not going to do that. The reason she wanted to keep her mic on is because she wanted to catch Donald Trump in a gotcha kind of moment. And there is a clip going around where they did not turn off Harris's mic and they allowed her to continue speaking even though it was Donald Trump's time to talk. Other than these couple of instances where they did that, it was a fairly civil debate. It was definitely political because the moment Kamala came out, she walked over to Trump to shake his hand and said, let's have a good debate. That's political 101. That's her trying to show herself as being the uniter that she's trying to claim she is. And I don't think the American people bought it. I really don't. I don't think the American people bought into anything she said last night. And here's the reason why. Kamala Harris's entire campaign rests on the fact of, if you make me president, I'm going to change everything. For the last 3 years, they have told us, the economy is good, the numbers are good, inflation's not as bad as people are telling you it is, things aren't as bad in the world as they're telling you it is. Now all of a sudden Kamala's coming out talking about she's going to fix the economy, she's going to create more jobs, she's going to do all of these things, and it's like, why are you talking about fixing something that you and your administration, because she is part of the Biden administration, why are you saying that you're going to fix these things when for 3 years you were telling us there were no issues? They also told us for 3 years that Joe Biden was mentally fit, that he was the man, that he was going to beat Trump. He famously said, I beat him once, I'll beat him again. And that turned out not to be the case. That's a lie. Where I come from, and one of the things I believe, is if you can find a lie in anybody's statement, everything else they're telling you is a lie as well. That's just the way I believe, and it's worked out pretty well for me most of my life. So, she's lying about what she wants to do for the economy, because here's the biggest kicker that I think a lot of people, including me, have a problem with her campaign. You're currently the Vice President of the United States. Most people, most Americans will agree right now, they don't believe Joe Biden is running the country. They don't believe Joe Biden has been running the country for quite some time. Now, those of us that have been actually watching and paying attention to his administration could have told you this, and we did tell you this 3 years ago, that Joe was not going to be in charge. Nobody has any idea on who's running the country, which Trump very well stuck to last night. He's like, who's running the country? Who is our president? He's got a good point. It's certainly not Joe Biden, because if it was, Kamala wouldn't need to be changing all of these policies that he's been telling us have been so good. And by the way, have you seen the statistic of how many government employees have been added? It's ridiculous how many more government employees have been added under the Biden administration. It is absolutely alarming. I will find the graph and I will link to it for you. You can go to nickstake.com, just search for episode 1, and you'll be able to find the link to that. It doesn't give a specific number, it gives the graph of it. But the graph was like this after 2020. It kind of leveled a little bit around 2021, 2022, and then bam, it shot up in 2022. You want to know why that is? Because Joe Biden put in a policy that if you have anything over $600, whether you spend it, whether you deposit it, whether you get paid over $600, the IRS needs to know. Used to be $10,000, by the way. Anything over $10,000, the IRS needed to be alerted. And then he said, it's only for the wealthy. Everybody in the country that has any kind of a paying job is earning $600. If you're spending $600, which most rent or mortgages are higher than $600, they know about it. They know where all this money is going, and it's only for one reason. The grandmothers and the people that were on Social Security or that had actually retired that were making money through things like PayPal, Cash App, or whatever, that were doing jobs on the side, the federal government had no way to tax them. That's all it's about, which, by the way, on this show, you will hear multiple times, taxation is theft. What about our roads? What about our schools? What about our defense? We had all of that before we had tax. Read a history book. We did bonds. In fact, the American people, this is what you need to understand. Until 1913, do you know who held the veto power over if Congress could spend money, borrow money, or print money? The people. Up until 1913, the people held veto power with our Congress. 1913. So a little over 115 years ago, we were still the ones that were controlling the money. Now we're not. And look at what's happened. Prior to 1913, our debt was manageable. Post-1913, we've gone on a spending spree. It's absolutely ridiculous how much power and how much freedom we have given up to these jackasses in D.C. So, Kamala claiming she's going to do all of these things if you make her president. She's currently the vice president. She could get things together. She could get people together. And she could go to Congress to get them to pass things. She doesn't really need the president. The president's not really doing anything anyway, like Trump very eloquently pointed out last night. Go wake him up and tell him, hey, we got to go to Capitol Hill and get some things done. But here's the thing. The key part that I saw that Trump really hit home was the border. Most of Americans are worried about the influx of immigrants. It's not a racist thing to say that. That's just normal, intelligent behavior. In a city that is close to where I live in Alabama, it's a no podunk town. Nobody really knows a whole lot about it. It has a population of maybe 13,000 people. They have an influx of immigrants in upwards of 15,000 to 20,000 people. So their own population doubled almost overnight because the Biden-Harris administration were busing people to this city. And this city, like I said, is in the middle of nowhere, Alabama. They're not known for anything really big like Huntsville or Birmingham, Montgomery, or Mobile. And I'm not bashing this city. The city of Sylacauga, they don't really have, you know, big industries. It just happens to be one of the small town USAs that we have in Alabama. And I mean no disrespect to anybody there, but the fact that they have seen an influx of immigrants, had a video go viral where the citizens were asking the mayor and the city council and everything about this, and they shut it down. The city shut it down. They said, we're not going to launch an investigation based on what somebody looks like. And nobody in the crowd that was asking questions brought up anything about race. They were asking, where are these people from? Are we sure they're not criminals? Are we sure they're going to be good for our community? That's what everybody cares about, safety. So the border issue is probably one of the biggest issues of this political race. Trump warned everybody, if he didn't win re-election in 2020, that the border was going to be left wide open for all kinds of people to come through. It kind of happened that way. In fact, there's videos on X that you can go and see of a woman that's just trying to walk to her office, and there's all of these carts that are selling the same thing, lining the street her entire way to work. Now everybody they deserve an opportunity to come here and do everything that they need to make money to take care of their family, and I applaud those that are actually getting out there and working instead of sitting on the government's dime. But when you're selling the same thing, that can be a bit overwhelming, as it was shown in that video, and I'll try and find that video. But the point that Trump hammered home was Biden and Harris could close the border right now. The president has the power and the authority to do it through executive action. All he has to do is tell the border it's closed and nothing can get through. And he said, if you really care about border security, why haven't you closed it, or why haven't you given at least a period of time for some things to dissipate, to disperse, and give us a little bit of time to catch up, is what I got out of what he was talking about. And closing the border for a week or a month or whatever is not going to do anything to our economy. It will stop this influx of illegals that are coming in that Harris has bragged about giving 100,000 of them temporary protective sanctuary. So she just granted it to 100,000 people. There were no interviews. There were no judge did it. The administration did it. Why do you think they did that? Because they want 100,000 Haitians to vote Democrat. I don't like gimmicks. That's a gimmick to get people to vote. Whether you want to realize that or not, that's completely a gimmick to have them vote Democrat. Trump really hammered home the border issue last night because a lot of people don't remember, but there was no influx. We had a fentanyl problem, but it wasn't as bad as it is now. We didn't really have an illegal problem. We had a lot of illegal immigrants still coming through the country, but not in the waves that we have seen come through under the Biden administration. And on day one, when Biden got into office, he rolled back every policy Trump put in place, which include border security and energy, which is oil and drilling. He stopped all of those. And then last night, Kamala tried to convince the world and her voters that she's going to produce a strong border and she's going to drill. The only reason your gas prices, wherever you may be in this country, the only reason they're low right now is because Biden and Harris went back to Trump's policies and started drilling again. Until then, Biden had been depleting our national reserves. This is all public information. You can look this up, every bit of it. Fact check me. I want facts. I don't want just, oh, well, that's not true. Just like the statements, like when Trump allegedly said there were good people on the Charlottesville side, fine people on both sides. You got to listen to the entire thing, which is archived at whitehouse.gov, where he says, clearly he says, not the white supremacists, not the neo-Nazis, those people are crazy and should be handled. He wasn't referring to them as good people, yet the media and the Democrats and the left ran with that. And this kind of leads to the point of why I'm doing this show, because Barack Obama, who was president, got rid of a law that had been in place for a long time in the United States about propaganda, where it basically constricted government officials to where they had to tell you the truth. Did Trump benefit from this being withdrawn? Yes, he did, because Trump lied to us on quite a few things. But nobody lied as much as Obama and now Biden have lied about things. It's already been proven that the Biden administration lied and overstated employment by almost a million people. They claimed almost a million more people were employed than there actually was. That was a lie, though. They spread that lie, and there was no repercussions from it because the law Obama threw out allowed them to say that lie. Because, again, Hillary Clinton was supposed to win. You have to remember that. Hillary Clinton was supposed to carry on Barack Obama's leftist liberal agenda, and I can only imagine how bad the country would have been had he done that. Just look at the 3 years under Biden, how bad it's gotten. I can tell you right now, it doesn't matter what you believe the left is telling you, the media is telling you, or what the right is telling you. Most Americans vote based on their wallet. And I can tell you right now, I am paying more for gas. I am paying more for electricity. I'm paying more for fucking water for my home to take a shower, to wash my clothes. And I am paying out the ass for food. What's Kamala's solution to any of those problems? She's going to cap how much food prices can be. Because of capitalism, food prices are set based on market supply and demand. That's what sets food prices. If they have a problem with chickens laying eggs, they're not laying them fast enough, whatever the case may be, the price of eggs go up because they don't have as many eggs, so they need to make money so they can buy more chickens so they can make more eggs because these chickens aren't performing. Most people understand this. The price of eggs, I had to get eggs yesterday or the day before. It was almost $10 with tax. It was $9 and some change for 12 dozen eggs. Under Trump, I believe it was $3 and change with tax. Now, that doesn't compare to what it was when I was younger and first started earning money with a family. It was like 99 cents or $1.99 for a dozen. It was ridiculously cheap. And that's only been 25, 26 years, 27 years now. So just look at what liberal policies under Barack Obama's administration have done to the country, primarily Barack Obama. He destroyed our economy, and he got people used to paying the higher gas prices. Remember the $6 a gallon? I do, because I drove a big old Chevy Tahoe. Why did I have a Chevy Tahoe? Because under the Bush administration, gas prices were like $1.30. It was. I think the most it ever got under Bush was $2. Obama comes in office and it jumps up to $5 and $6, and we've been somewhere around that number ever since until Trump came back. Gas prices have averaged about $3, just about $3 and some change every year under the Biden administration. Under Trump's administration, the first year of gas was still inflated because of Obama's policies, but year two and year three under Trump, gas dropped. Year four, gas prices went up. He did have an influx of gas prices, and I will try to find the graph where I read that and post it in today's show notes up at nickstake.com. But more specifically, back to the debate. There was a lot of things about the debate that I noticed that I don't believe I've noticed in past debates. One of those things was commercial breaks. Sorry, took a sip of coffee. I don't remember commercial breaks in any of the previous debates, and that could have been because the Harris campaign was begging to be able to sit, because apparently Vice President Harris may have an issue with being able to stand for an hour and a half. Maybe it was all that time on her knees that really messed up her legs and she can't stand. Just saying. Look up Willie Brown and her relationship to Willie Brown. In fact, there's a video circulating on I believe it's Instagram, where she is with Willie Brown, who was the mayor of San Francisco, who technically helped her get her career started. And somebody asks her, "Oh, are you his daughter?" And she looks right at the camera and she goes, no, I'm not. She was his lover. He was married and she was sleeping with him. That's how she got her start. And by the way, she bragged about it in one of her books. Don't just take my word for it. Look into her book. But I don't remember there being, where they take a commercial break and then they come back. I don't remember that ever happening in a debate. I could be wrong, but I just don't remember a commercial break. I didn't watch the Joe Biden-Donald Trump debate because I knew Trump was just going to mop the floor with him. And it's sad. I have said this multiple times on my daily talk show where I have said Joe Biden served his country. Whether you like him or not, he served. And from what I believe, he served with distinction. Again, we can argue records another time. He served with distinction and he served with honor and he should have retired. To put it in another term, he should have been put out to pasture. He should have been left alone. But they drug him out of retirement, clearly having cognitive issues. His stutter that I know he has a problem with seems to have been 10 times worse than it ever was as vice president, just in the 4 years that Trump was president. He had such a decline in how he looked, how he walked, how tough he was, how he talked. It was unbelievable that was the same Joe Biden that I have seen most of my life, if not all of my life. But portions of my life, I wasn't paying attention to politics. But it was sad. It was sad, and it's a sad thing that Joe Biden is going to be remembered as the laughingstock president. It really is, because again, he served, and we should have treated him better, but the Democrats didn't care about that. All they wanted was to win, to get power. Speaking of, in that debate where Joe Biden was eventually the front runner running up to the 2020 election, Kamala Harris performed so badly and her career was ruined by Tulsi Gabbard, however you say her name. I never get her name right. That's something that you'll see is a recurring thing on my show. I'm not going to say the names right. I'm sorry. Correct me, please. I want to be able to say their names right. But the Tulsi lady is who I was going to vote for. Full stop. She was going to get my vote over Joe Biden and Donald Trump. It was going to be Tulsi because I liked everything she was saying. I liked and agreed with most of the things that she agreed with. I agreed with more than I disagreed with coming from her. She was getting my vote. And when she hammered Kamala on her record, that pretty much killed Kamala's chances of doing anything. In fact, she dropped out shortly after that. She had a -8 approval rating. And now all of a sudden you expect me to believe that the Democrat Party loves her? No, they're using her. They don't give a damn about her. The Democrats didn't even like her. Her party rejected her when she was running in 2020 because they didn't like what she was saying. They didn't like her personality. They didn't like something about her. The people were right. And now all of a sudden she's not that person? Bullshit. She's still that person. Here's a famous saying that, what's her name? McCain's running mate said, "You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. You can dress her up. You can teach her how to talk more eloquently and articulate sentences and things, but she's still Commie Kamala." She was brought up by Marxist dad who believed in communism, and a lot of her policies are just that, communism. Like I was talking about, one of her things is capping food prices. Do you know what happens when you cap food prices? The people that make the food only make a limited amount of it. Don't believe me? Look what happened in Venezuela. That's the exact same thing they did in the 90s, right before their people started eating rats in the street because they couldn't find food. Venezuela used to be one of the highest GDP countries out there. They had one of the best GDPs because it's an oil-rich country that everybody there was living the high life just like we're doing here. And then they capped food prices. And it went to shit almost immediately. Now, it was other policies too, but the food pricing was one of the things because he was like, "The food will never be over X amount of dollars." And since it couldn't go over X amount of dollars, the people didn't make as much food. The manufacturers didn't make as much food. So people starved. They were in bread lines. They started a caravan to come to the United States because they needed to eat. That's a fundamental right to every human on the planet, is food and water. So they left their home and came here. And now Kamala wants to do that here. That is a socialist, communist, Marxist belief. It's the same thing that happened in Russia when the Soviets took over. They priced the food at a level that everybody could afford. And then before too long, there was no food for you to afford. But everybody that was in the Communist Party was getting fat. They were still eating it. And that's what a lot of youth of today don't understand. I lived through Communist Russia. I lived through the breadlines. I saw this in the news back when the news used to be worth a damn. And they reported on facts. I got to see this firsthand. I remember watching CNN talk about the breadlines in Russia and how this one particular woman who had a family of four had been waiting for a month just to get one loaf of bread. It was shortly before communism fell in Russia, but still, it was the height and the worst time in the country. It's since bounced back because they implemented democratic principles that brought in capitalism. There's only one form of government or of economy that has ever lifted anybody out of poverty, and it's communism. Or it's not communism. Dadgummit. It's capitalism. Capitalism is the only form of economy that has lifted people out of poverty. More people are put into poverty from communism than capitalism. But yet in America, they've twisted that to tell you more people have been, communism's great and you'll live great because everything will be equal. But it never is, because the people at top, on top, are always the ones that benefit the most. In fact, there's a famous quote from a bitch that I can't stand, Margaret Thatcher. As an Irishman, I can't give her any credit, but I have to give her this one. She said, socialism is fun until you run out of other people's money. And she's right. And with that, I'm going to take a short break and be right back to talk more about last night's debate right here on Nick's Take. Just give me a few minutes. I'll be right back. See? Told you it'd be short. Welcome back into Nick's Take. We're handling the debate last night. So I'm just going to go and run through a lot of the stuff because I don't want this to go any longer than it's technically already going to, because today wasn't really planned to be a show. I don't really have everything put together the way that I want to do next week. I just didn't want to go without addressing a lot of the stuff from the debate. One of the things that I noticed was Kamala had notes. Trump didn't. You know what that tells me? If Trump had notes, they weren't as visible as Kamala's. Like, she had notebooks and things like all laid out in front of her. She was constantly writing down and going through pages trying to look at how she should respond. I could have sworn they said that they weren't allowed to do stuff like that. I don't think from the time that I watched it that I ever saw Trump look at his notes or try to find something in his notes. In fact, he almost always knew how to come back at whatever it was she was claiming. And he did. And I think he did it very well. I think he won the debate last night, as does a lot of people through social media. There's a lot of people that believe it. Now, you do have the leftists and the liberals that were like, Kamala was so good last night. She did. I didn't see that. I didn't like Trump's performance. Don't get me wrong. I think Trump came off a little bit unhinged. But at the same time, between the two, I think Trump was hammering home the policies and the things that most American people are going to be thinking about and what they're going to be wanting to hear from the potential future president of the United States. In fact, there was a swing voter that was asked in a CNN room, CNN, if how she felt about the debate and what she was thinking about it. And the liberals are losing their minds now based on what she replied. And here is her reply to that.
Is actually going to make our country better. And we're in an incredibly unique situation where we've had both of the candidates in office before and we've gotten to see what they would do. And when facts come to facts, my life was better when Trump was in office. The economy was higher, inflation was lower, things were better overall. And now with Kamala's administration, things haven't been so fantastic. And she's saying she can fix the problems that her administration has caused, but I just don't know if I can afford to take that risk.
Tell me you don't feel the same. Tell me you don't have the same kind of thought. A lot of Democrats have this thought. They just don't want to admit it because no matter who, vote blue. That's a cult belief. That's communism. It doesn't matter. You've always got to vote for Xi Jinping, the leader of China right now. You've always got to vote for him because it's what you should do. It's the right thing to do. You don't know who the next guy's going to be. And now he's pretty much become a communist dictator in China. They were already communist, but he has since made moves in China to make sure he doesn't have to lose elections ever again. You don't think that'll happen here? We're one election away from losing all of our rights. I don't like to fearmonger, but this election in my lifetime, this election has proven to be like a very tipping point of things, because everything Trump said would happen if he didn't get reelected happened. They forced shutdowns. They forced people to take an unproven experimental drug. They forced all of this on the American people. Trump wasn't doing any of that, and he said it was going to get worse. They were going to close businesses. Do you know how many businesses are filing bankruptcy based on the policies that Joe Biden put in place for COVID, during COVID? Which, by the way, most of the stuff that's come out, including Anthony Fauci, has said the lockdowns weren't necessary. They were unnecessary. It didn't do anything. Even though during the whole debate and during the whole thing, we must do the lockdowns to stop it, to slow it. They even convinced me, who again is an anarchist by nature and doesn't like to abide by any laws, was like, okay, if you say I need to take 2 weeks, I'll take 2 weeks. I quit doing my show. And ultimately, that cost me my job in the long run because I didn't come back and I wasn't handling the day-to-day business of stuff that I was doing when I was working during 2020. So I know I lost a job, and I know several other people that lost a job based on these lockdowns. Trump predicted it. Trump predicted that Russia was going to go crazy and start invading countries. Ukraine, anybody? Trump also said things were going to pop off in the Middle East. Have you seen it lately? Under Trump, there was leadership. You can yell about some of his policies all day long, and I will probably join you on a lot of them. I don't believe in the Trump bucks. I don't think he should have done that. I don't think he should have given every American more money to sit at home. I don't believe he should have done any of that crap. That was wrong. That's un-American. We don't believe in things like that. If there's a sickness going around, okay, do your best to avoid it. But when you're sitting at home, don't cry and have money. This is why you're supposed to be prepared and have money in savings. Believe me, I'm not one of those people that has money in savings because I'm always putting it into a company. Because I'm a capitalist. You should be too. Just saying. So everything Trump said would happen if he didn't get re-election happened. And now he's making even more predictions on how more extreme things are going to go. This is not going to be a pretty election by any means. The left, the liberals, the Democrats, whatever you want to call them, are far more militarized than they were before. They are far more militant than they have ever been in my lifetime. The Democrats used to have decorum and respect about themselves. Now they don't. There's so much vile stuff being said about people. Like, there was a thing that went around on X, and it was like, after the shooting, they said, Canada has guns. Canada has religious people. You know what Canada doesn't have? Republicans. Get rid of all Republicans. You're championing the removal of upwards of 80 million people, your own citizens, just because they don't believe the same way you do. That's a dangerous path. Eventually, that path is going to turn around and go to things that you care about, and you're a fool if you don't think it will. So he was right about the border. She was famously appointed border czar. They are desperate to tell you that never happened when there is proof everywhere other than Google that it actually happened. There's also video clips of ABC saying Vice President Harris is going to take over as the new border czar. And then Kamala Harris, that never happened. He's lying. Just like she said he was lying about the guns. I don't think I played that on this one, did I? I played that on the other show. She said, I never said I was going to take away guns. And we've got her on video multiple times saying, if Congress doesn't take action, I will take action about guns. I'll play you this clip first, where she clearly is saying she will take away guns through executive action.
Your gun control agenda?
I think it's a great idea, but I mean, listen, I don't think we lack for great ideas. As I've said many times, we've been having great ideas for decades. The problem is that Congress has not had the courage to act. And that is why, from the beginning, I have said my agenda includes attempting to get Congress to act, but if they don't within the first 100 days of my administration, I'm going to take executive action. Because what we need is action.
What we need is action. I'm going to take executive action if they don't move to do something about guns. And then, let's see. I had another one of it. Give me a minute to find it. Okay, this is from the actual debate where she's calling Donald Trump a liar about her gun record, followed by her saying she's going to take away guns. This is why I love the fact that there's video and proof out there. You just have to dig for it. And again, I'll try to put all of this up on the website after today's episode, nickstake.com.
This business about taking everyone's guns away, Tim Walz and I are both gun owners. We're not taking anybody's guns away. So stop with the continuous lying about this stuff.
One, I'll tell you, when elected president, if the United States Congress continues to fail to have the courage to do something about this, I'm prepared to take executive action and put in place a ban on the importation of assault weapons into our country. But we still have to deal with the over 2 million assault weapons that are currently in the streets of America.
There you have it. I will take executive action to put in a ban against assault weapons, and then she conveniently says that are being imported to our country. There aren't that many being imported. There's a lot that are being made here, but there's not a lot that are being imported. There's a few brands that import, but for the most part, it's a very uniquely American-made gun. The gun that she's talking about mostly, assault weapons, is the AR-15 that they want to take away. That Beto O'Rourke famously said, "Hell yes, I'm taking your guns. I'm coming for that AR-15. You see how well he did in politics since he said that. There's a lot of people in this country, and you saying you're a gun owner and then turning around saying that you want to take away people's guns, that makes you either an idiot or a liar. You can't be a gun owner and then want to turn around and take away somebody's guns because the gun may scare you. Because here's the problem that I have with that. She's protected by people with guns like an AR-15. Now, they might be the fully automatic versions, or they might actually be machine guns. I believe the Secret Service carries machine guns and fully automatic pistols. I can't have that. So, of course, somebody that is protected by these weapons of war, as they love to say, which, by the way, they're not. She's protected by those weapons, but yet you can't have them to protect the things that you care about, your family, your property, whatever the case may be. But she and her family can have it. How is that fair to you? Legit, answer that question for me. How is it fair that you want to take away this gun that has the ability for me to take on multiple assailants that may be robbing my house and trying to hurt my children and my wife? How is it right that you want to take away that weapon, yet you want politicians like Kamala Harris, the president, the members of Congress, even people in Hollywood, to have the ability to have that weapon? Because make no mistake, if they actually try to ban an assault weapon like they did before in the 90s, see, a lot of people weren't alive that are going to vote and don't want these assault weapons out there. In the 90s, when they got rid of the assault weapons ban, they put in special provisions for people in Hollywood and people in Congress. What's so special about those fuckers that they get the gun, but we don't? That's the ultimate problem I have with any argument about gun control. And I have said, and I will continue to say, I will give you my guns as soon as you lay yours down. Don't protect the president with weapons that you won't let me have. I hate the fact that they give them automatic pistols. I hate the fact that my local police department can have an automatic pistol. That's ridiculous. That's one pull of the trigger and the entire magazine is emptied. Why does a cop need that? But I don't. You know, the cop faces other dangers, and we don't. People rob people all the time. People rape people all the time, and people murder people all the time in this country. You don't think I need a fully automatic pistol? The fuck I don't. More of the things on it last night were, again, she talked about the find people on both sides, which has already been debunked, even by Snopes. Snopes finally came out damn near 7 years later and said he never said that. Here's the full context of the quote, as well as the whole Mexicans are rapist quote. Snopes finally admitted that that was a lie too, but it's damaged. He's already damaged. They've already damaged his reputation, and that's all their low-informed voters care about. They didn't care to look into it because they've already said their low-informed voters only read headlines. And that's sad. Kamala also talked about she had a different presence about herself. The way she talked, her inflections and her mannerisms were Obama 2.0. She was articulated, and her flow of speech was not Kamala Harris's flow of speech. It was almost like Barack Obama was talking to her in her ear because of the way she was flowing, even the way she was doing her hands and moving her hands. Now, Kamala Harris has always spoken with her hands, as do I, but the way she was doing it and the emphasis that she was doing it was like Barack Obama is who was training her and getting her prepared for the debate the entire time. It was really bizarre to see a female Barack Obama. And that's what I saw. And I even pointed out to my wife, and she's like, yeah, the inflections in her voice and the way she's pronouncing words is indicative of Barack Obama. It's almost identical to what Barack Obama would say and how he would say it. It was really bizarre. And then you got Trump over there. She's a liar. I said, and I will stand by this, I said Trump would have won the debate and would have won the presidency if he had done this. I know he'll never do it. And the day that a politician does this, I will be so happy. They give 2 minutes for you to make your case to the American people at the end of the debate. Kamala Harris gave her 2 minutes. I can do this. I'm going to do this. Just give me your vote, basically. I'm going to change everything. It's going to be great. Just vote for me. It's going to be great. I said to my wife, if Trump had pulled a My Cousin Vinny line and said everything she just said was bullshit, he would have won. He would have won instantly. American people would have been like, yeah, everything she said was bullshit. Like, we pretend that these people are telling us the truth. Politicians are lying. Trump is lying to you about some stuff that he wants to do, too. He's not going to be able to do it. He's not going to be able to get rid of the Department of Education. He's not going to be able to do anything like that. He's not going to be able to get rid of any department of the government. It's going to be we have a Congress. He's not going to be able to do that because we still have Democrats in Congress that aren't going to allow that to happen. So don't let that fool you. Again, politicians lie. It's just Kamala is vice president right now, and if she really wanted to change things, she'd make it happen. She doesn't want to change them. She wants to hold your vote hostage to convince you that she wants to change them, and she's not going to. In fact, if you like inflation, good. Vote for Kamala. It's going to get worse. If you like paying high gas prices, good. Vote for Kamala because it's going to get worse. If you like paying high food prices, vote for Kamala because it's going to get worse. The housing issues that she wants to solve by letting people get $25,000 towards a down payment on a home. They already do that. If you're a first-time homeowner today in 2024, you need to know that there are several government programs out there that will give you up to $25,000, if not more, to buy your first home. Look into it. They're already there. She also wants to cap the home prices. Do you know what that's going to do? It's going to bankrupt the housing industry overnight and devalue people's property like we've never seen in this country. It's almost like they're purposely trying to destroy the dollar. Some might say they are. I'm not one of those people. But the NATO record, she wanted to hammer home the NATO record, and she was talking about how our allies in NATO don't like Trump. Trump did the best in NATO out of any president. In fact, he went to the members of NATO and told them, if you don't start paying, we're stopping everything. Full stop. And you know what they did? They started paying. Why is it so bad to say America shouldn't be the one that's footing the bill for everything? Oh, we're the most wealthiest country on the planet. No, we're not. We're inflated. Our wealth is inflated. We're not the wealthiest. Not even close. It's a couple of countries in Africa that would be the wealthiest. Could they trade better? And those days are coming. That's why China is buying up as much land as they can in Africa, because they want to take advantage of the economy that's going to be booming out of Africa. Look into it. She claimed, though, that NATO members laughed at Trump. Nobody laughed at Trump. People feared him because he's the crazy New Yorker that might actually do what he said he was going to do. And one of my favorite interviews with him is, I think he's with Sean Hannity. And Sean Hannity is like, is it true that you sent the leader of Al-Qaeda his address? And Trump goes, no, I sent him a picture. You won't talk about balls? When the leader of the Taliban was talking shit to Trump, he showed him a picture of his house so that he could say, I can kill you at any point. I know where you are. That's ballsy. And that's a boss move if I've ever seen one. Kamala ain't got those kind of stones. What she wants to do is destroy everything at home. Biden has already been working his hardest to do that, which is also the administration she's part of. That's why she agreed to be part of the administration, because she knew they would be destructive to American policies and American beliefs. She doesn't believe in anything we believe. Oh, I'm a gun owner. No, you're not. Nobody's ever seen you do anything with guns. I bet you couldn't even tell me what a .30-06 is. Couldn't tell me if it's a rifle or a pistol. And half of the people that are online, they're talking about banning a AR-15, you have no idea of the other weapons that you don't want to ban that are more powerful than the AR-15 just because they don't look like military-style weapons. I can make any rifle look like a military-style weapon. I can make a .22 look like a military-style weapon. And you'd be like, oh, ban it. It's a weapon of war. No, it's not. But I digress. The lies from the Kamala campaign were just unbelievable. The stuff that she tried to point out about Trump, which I'm glad he finally talked about the Central Park Five. I'm glad he finally addressed that. There was an issue in this country where five people were accused of rape and murder, or rape. I can't remember. But it was a big story in the 90s. Trump famously put out an op-ed where he said that these guys should go to the death penalty. The reason he did that is because every one of those kids pled guilty. So he's like, these kids are guilty. Put them on death row. Let's get rid of them. I don't see no flaw in that. But Kamala wanted to make it out like they were innocent. Well, they turned out to be innocent, but they pled guilty. So why plead guilty if you're innocent? Oh, racism. Bullshit. There were lawyers that would have taken their cases pro bono. They didn't have to plead guilty to it. I'm glad he finally addressed that, because there's another rumor about him not wanting to let low-income families live in some of his apartments, and that's based on New York law at the time. It wasn't Trump saying, hey, if you're poor, you can't live here. New York was saying it. Once New York changed the law, he let them in. But they want to stay on these things. And again, these things are verifiable. You just have to do some digging. I'm not going to do all the digging for you, because you need to learn it on your own. Don't take what I'm saying for gospel. Find it out for yourself. Because if you don't, you're going to continue voting for policies, and you're going to vote yourself into a fucking gas chamber before you know it, or an internment camp before you know it. Do you know why we weren't round up and put in camps during COVID? Because we got guns. Look at what happened to Australia. That's a democratic country. There were people ripped away from their families because they had a positive COVID test, and they were thrown into a camp and told, you got to live here for an infinite amount of time. They never told them when they could go home. What happened in Michigan, or is it Michigan or Minnesota? Where is Tim Walz the governor of right now? Hold on. I'll look it up real quick. Tim Walz, governor. He is the governor of Minnesota. Do you not remember what he did as governor during COVID? If you were on your porch, he sent police to shoot you with paintballs. But they were shooting you. That's what he did as governor. Imagine what he's going to advocate for if he becomes vice president. If he had that mentality, and he said more than once, your freedoms don't mean anything. Screw your freedoms. Just like, oh, stupid Arnold Schwarzenegger. Screw your freedoms. Do what's right. Absolutely not. I believe my freedoms trump every fucking thing out there. And if you don't think that way, get the hell out. This country isn't for you. Because there's a large portion of people that think like me that are like, no, freedom is the best thing ever. Ronald Reagan famously said, if we lose freedom here, there's nowhere else for us to run on earth. Because there's nowhere else to go. Look at what happened in England during COVID. Look at what happened in France during COVID. People were forced in their homes. Look at what happened in China during COVID. People were literally bolted into their homes and died from starvation because of a disease that they had pumped up. That turns out you have a 98% chance you're going to survive it if you get it. I believe I've gotten it twice. And I check all the boxes of being overweight, having health conditions. I got a bad liver. I got bad lungs. I smoke like a chimney. I smoke cigars all the damn time. I should have died from COVID. I didn't. 98% chance of living. Just saying. And he was shooting his own people. This whole thing of, oh, there's no bad cops. Yeah, there are. They'll all do whatever they're told to do. And that's the problem with modern police. But that's for another show. She tried to point out, this was something that her campaign has been pushing too, that Trump wanted to invite the Taliban to Camp David to negotiate basically a peaceful withdrawal in Afghanistan. And she's like, you didn't talk to the Afghan government. No, because the Afghan government is a joke. They don't run the country. The Taliban do. The Taliban are the bad guys. So you want to talk to them. Clinton brought the PLO to Camp David multiple times. They were the terrorists in Palestine. And Clinton brought them. I remember seeing Yasser Arafat at Camp David several times growing up. What's the difference? Either you like sitting down and being diplomatic or you don't. And if you're a diplomat, you have to be diplomatic to everybody. The ones that you want to label a terrorist, the warmongers, whatever you want to call them. You have to be diplomatic to everybody. You can't just pick and choose and be diplomatic with only the people you want to. Like Cuba. We should open up diplomacy with Cuba. Mostly because I want their cigars. But I want to travel to Cuba as well. I have family members that have family stuck in Cuba that they haven't seen for decades. It's just like North Korea and South Korea, only not as worse. Because there are ways to get to Cuba and get back safely. But I would like to see a trade with Cuba opened up. I thought I was going to get that under Obama. We got close. He relaxed a lot of the restrictions. I was like, come on, baby. Not that we approve what their government does, but we need to get in there and tell them, hey, quit doing this shit. Let your Cubans live the way they want to. Let's get away from this. Let's instill more democracy, democratic views so that Cuba will go back to being what Cuba was before Fidel took over. But no, we don't want to do that. We want to keep Cuba trapped. Ask yourself why. So, the whole thing about talking to the Taliban, I don't have an issue with that. You've got to negotiate with the people that are trying to kill American soldiers. Kamala also tried to point out that Trump doesn't honor or respect our soldiers. That's a flat-out lie. Soldier morale was much higher under Trump because they knew they weren't going to have to go to war. Soldier morale was much better because he came to see them wherever they were. He visited with them, even at Walter Reed. There's that famous video of him and the First Lady walking in, and the First Lady is begging the guy not to stand, and even when Trump comes in, he's telling him, oh, no, 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 no. But the guy stood, not because he's a soldier and that's his commander-in-chief, because of the respect he had for Trump. Yet when Kamala and Biden were elected, what did the National Guard do to them? They turned their backs on them when they went down Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, they may spin that as meaning something else, but those of us that know what military code is, turning your back is a pretty serious thing that could get you court-martialed. And the majority of the people that were doing protection because of the whole January 6th thing that day, they turned their backs on the president as he came. And then when he had his Secretary of Defense tell the people in the Army and the Marines, you either take this vaccine or we're going to dishonorably discharge you. A lot of those people have sued and gotten the right to not only come back, but to get their rank and all of their things back because they didn't have the right to do that. They effectively got rid of thousands of soldiers because they didn't want to take an experimental drug. I was under the viewpoint of, let's give it a little while before I look into taking it. But the more and more the government was like, you need to take this. You need to take it. You better take it. You got to take it. And the more I was like, fuck this. Didn't even look into it after that. And I have no problem saying that. You want to call me crazy? It won't be the first time. Let's see. What else was there? The lies that were coming from her were unbelievable. Kamala was elected. This whole thing was... They brought up how Trump said he didn't know she was black and now all of a sudden she's black, something to that effect. Here's what he was meaning by that. And I don't like to put words in people's mouth and I don't try to speak for anybody, but he articulated it somewhat. What I took from what he was saying was he didn't realize she was a person of color because when she was first elected in California, the headlines were first Indian American to ever become district attorney or attorney general. When she went to the Senate, first Indian American woman to ever be elected to Congress. Now all of a sudden it's first African American woman vice president. She is biracial. In my opinion, she should say first mixed vice president in American history. Stop pandering to one or the other and just pick the one that fits. You're mixed. I'm mixed. My kids are mixed. That's truly American. Barack Obama is mixed. I don't like referring to him as the first black president because he's the first mixed president. And to me and in my world, that's a much better thing than, you know, claiming one race or the other. You're mixed. You represent more of America than you realize by being mixed. I digress. And Trump was like, no, I don't know what the context of what I was saying, because a lot of stuff that Trump says is done in sarcasm. He does it sarcastically. The new generation of leadership. She kept saying this over and over again. I'm a new generation of leadership. I'm a new generation. Your form of leadership is communism and Marxism, based on your own policies and based on who you pick to be your vice president. You had a great vice presidential candidate that probably would have secured you way more votes in November from the guy that's out of, I believe it's Pennsylvania. The reason you didn't pick him is because he's Jewish. And then last night you were like, I love the Jewish people. So much so that you refused to meet with Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister, when he came to the United States to deliver a speech. You went to California instead. You conveniently skipped the highest member of the government of Israel, a Jewish man. You skipped him coming. You're loud and clear. We hear you loud and clear, Kamala. Commie comrade Kamala. You don't care about the Jews. You don't care about the military. You don't care about the American people. All you care about is fattening your pocket, because you know it's a huge payday to get into the United States office of president. You know it is. You're going to be paid for life. That's all you care about. You want to take away my right to freedom and self-preservation with my weapons. You want to take those away, but you want to keep yours. Why? So you can use them against me, the people that will likely call out your bullshit. I don't like, there's a lot behind her that's communist and socialist and Marxist, and I just don't have enough time. Maybe I'll do an entire episode of how socialist and Marxist Kamala Harris is between now and the election. Hopefully I'll have time, sometime to do it. She says, I have a plan. She said all night, I have a plan. My plan is this. My plan is this. My plan is this. First, she's against fracking. Then she's for fracking. Now, all of a sudden, she's for it because she's trying to. She basically mirrored Donald Trump's policies. That's why I thought it was funny when he said, we wanted to send her a Make America Great Again hat because her policies were my policies. And it was like, damn. And it really is. But here's the thing that gets me about all of this, and this is what I'm going to wrap up today's show with. Democrats have controlled our government for the better half of the last 16, 17 years. They controlled Congress. They controlled the White House for the majority of those 16 to 17 years. There was only a pattern of 4 years where there was a Republican in place. And the last 17 years, there's only one person that gets blamed for all the problems we have. And it's the man that was only there for 4 years. The Democrats were there for the majority of it. But all of a sudden, it ain't their fault. They didn't do it. Kamala also pointed out that insulin prices are capped at $35 under her administration, her and Biden's administration. Trump is the one that did that. When Joe Biden got into office, that was one of the things he canceled on day one. When insulin prices went up to over $700 after being $35 under Trump, they panicked and they put Trump's policy back into place. Trump's policy is how insulin is capped at $35. Just so you know. And again, I will put up links to all of this just as soon as I can. Give me a couple of days to put it up, because again, this was not a planned show. I promise the next show will be way more put together, way more organized, and way more efficient with the way that we run things. So thanks for watching the inaugural show, and we went over the debate a little bit. I'll try and do more in the actual post of this show so that I can give you more of my feelings and talking points and things on it. But I got some stuff that I got to go do, so I got to cut it short. Again, I didn't want to do a show until I was prepared to do it, but I wanted to hammer some things home about the debate and kind of get some stuff done and get it under our belt. So episode 2 will definitely be better next week. I promise. Just tune in next week. I can't leave without giving you my customary goodbye, and it is hug your loved ones each and every day, because you never know when the good Lord will call them home. For every dark night, there is always a brighter day, and life is just a party, and parties weren't meant to last. If you want to see this show or look up anything that I've talked about, go to nickstake.com, search for episode 1. There'll be a list of show notes with links of everything that I discuss, or the majority of the things that I discuss. It'll be up under show notes on nickstake.com. For now, that's going to do it for me. I will see you bright and early tomorrow morning for Nick B. in the Morning. Join me, LB, and JR as we give you our thoughts and views on entertainment, music, and all kinds of crazy news, and we have fun doing it. Tune in. It's not political. It's a fun show. Tune in tomorrow, 7 a.m. Anywhere you can listen to us on the radio or worldwide at nickbnation.com. But for now, y'all be good. I'll see you next time right here on Nick's Take.
Wow, that was something. The proceeding was produced by Nick B. Entertainment. All rights reserved. Don't even think about using any portion of the show without the express written consent of Nick B. Entertainment. We'll get you. To learn more, subscribe, or to see what the hell we're up to, visit www.nickbnation.com. Y'all be good, and we'll see you next time.